ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that on one's 250th birthday, there should be a celebration. I'm Claire Nichols, and on The Book Show, we're raising our teacups to Jane Austen.
Why Austen? What is it about her?
Authors Colm Tobin, Karen Joy Fowler, and more will explore why, in 2025, the Austen effect is bigger than ever.
That's quite incredible.
Search for The Book Show and look for Dear Jane wherever you get your podcasts, or hear it now on the ABC Listen app.
So, Tegan, did you dream about me last night?
I didn't, but it's but it's funny you should mention that because I have had a dream about you before, Norman. Well, it was a work dream. Do you want to hear it?
Okay, it sounds like a nightmare, but carry on.
It was. This is the thing. So I had a dream. This is a while ago now, but you know, oh gosh, dreams are so emotional. Like it all comes flooding back. I had a dream that we had to be on the radio and I couldn't get the printer to work and I couldn't get into the studio and I couldn't like get my mic to go on. It's sort of like I was wading through mud. But the worst part of the dream was Norman was mad at me.
Oh, never.
The overwhelming kind of emotion attached to that dream for me is like, Norman's going to be so mad at me.
Did I talk with a kind of 30s noir movie hiss?
You better get in here, sunshine, or else you're fired. No, it was more like your presence, your disapproval, that was the spectre over the dream.
Oh, God.
What, have you been dreaming about me?
I must confess that I too have had dreams about not being ready. You know, you just... It's so common, and you're sitting there, and either I haven't read the script, or well, that's not unusual, and or the script's not ready, and that was my job to get the script ready. The other dream I have, actually, and so this will ring a bell with anybody listening, because people have had these, it's such a common story with dreams, is that at least once a year I'll have a dream that I've still got to do my medical exams.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Well, not medical exams, but yes, this idea of like some hangover from your teens or 20s. And you're like, but I'm a grown up now.
Yeah. You know, and what if the Daily Mail finds out that I've never done them?
That's so relatable. Oh, well, let us get into it because, of course, today we are talking about our dreams and what do they mean.
In What's That Rash? The show where we answer the health questions that everyone's asking.
So today's question comes from Siobhan, who says, can you talk about dreams? Well, Siobhan, we already have at length. Why does the brain dream during sleep? Is it debriefing the day? I dream every night, and Siobhan says, and often wake exhausted. My husband doesn't recall his dreams. What happens to the brain while dreaming? Is it healthy or unhealthy for the body? Do dreams vary in length from person to person? And then she signs off, keep up the great work and keep ringing that Mediterranean diet bell. Ring, ring. I will. I don't know if we're going to have cause for the med diet bell today, Norman.
Well, we can work it in. We'll try.
Figure out a way. So many questions from Siobhan, but they all kind of follow from each other. So I think we're going to be able to touch on almost all of that on our way through today. Can we start with what are dreams? What is dreaming?
We'll get into why in a minute. We know what dreams are. Dreams are stories that you go through in your mind during sleep. And they're usually self-referential, or you play a role in the dreams. They're often in black and white, but they can be in colour. Nobody's worked out what the difference is in terms of your brain function when you've colour dreams versus black and white.
I'd never thought about my dreams being in black and white before. I don't think they are.
I think mine are black and white.
That's because you're old.
I think mine are black and white. That's
mine,
right.
Mine are in Technicolour.
That's right. I grew up when there wasn't even sound in movies.
Sound and dreams. Your dreams have those like flashes that come up with just a sentence.
Yeah.
Like a Charlie Chaplin movie.
That's right. The plate there saying,
that's it. Yeah.
How dare you say that? And other people get, which is rare, other people get dreams where it's actually just sound. And there have been stories of composers who've come up with, you know, melodies that they've reckoned they've dreamed about. And Paul McCartney's famous for having come up with, I think,
he reckons Let It Be and Yesterday both came from a dream.
Yeah. And there is a relationship here between creativity and dreaming, which we can come back to. And
I have got so many dream stories, like famous things that people said came from dreams. We could do a whole podcast episode about it.
We could. And we're not.
Just you wait. Because
I'm reading the script. Now I'm getting a sort of one of these dream things. I haven't got the script for that. So there are elements. So, for example, some of the dreams that you hear about, these creativity dreams, are ones where you're just falling asleep, and those are called hypnagogic dreams. You're just in that semi-conscious state before you go to sleep.
Oh, where you feel like you probably wouldn't think you were asleep until you wake up, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I was actually asleep.
And those are probably the ones where you're more likely to remember what you dreamt. And there's a whole thing about remembering your dreams. How often do you remember your dreams?
I don't know. Like, you only remember the ones you remember, right? Like, am I dreaming every night and I just can't remember them? Or do I only dream the nights I remember them?
No, you're dreaming every night, almost certainly.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Almost certainly, everybody dreams. And you tend to dream during REM sleep. So it's rapid eye movement sleep. But you do dream at other times, as we've just said. But REM sleep is probably not restful sleep, but you go into it a couple of times a night. First sequence is fairly short and then it becomes longer later. And that is thought to be the time when you are dreaming. But apparently you can dream at other times. And, you know, and Siobhan asks about restful sleep. There is some evidence that nightmares are associated with a disrupted night's sleep and waking up feeling exhausted. Insomnia is related to an increased frequency of bad dreams. So people who have bad dreams tend to be insomniac or have a higher risk of being insomniac. And people who are insomniac tend to have more bad dreams. Now, it's not quite clear which direction that is going.
Yes, because you could imagine if you were anxious about falling asleep, you're falling asleep in a negative state of mind. But also if you were scared of having nightmares, you're less likely to let yourself pop off to sleep and you're going to be more tired. I can see how that could sort of feed from both ends.
Yeah, I mean, I used to get a regular nightmare when I was a child, exactly the same nightmare, and I used to know when it was coming on.
Oh, gosh, that would be scary.
I got this sensory abnormality. Some people think it's a form of epilepsy. They've gone away from that idea, but it's probably a form of midnight terrors in children. Mm. It was the same nightmare every night. I used to sleepwalk during the nightmare, and it went away with puberty. And I could never explain where this weird nightmare came from.
You've told this story before on
have
What's
I?
That Rash? You have.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because we did. No, it's great. I want to leave it there and see if anyone can remember.
Yeah, my dream.
Yes. Because Norman has told this story about his dream before, and then he told us its provenance at the end of the story, which I think was maybe a year or so ago, Norman. We did a story on night terrors.
That's right.
And if you remember that and you remember what Norman's dream inspiration was, then email us thatrash@abc.net.au and we might give you a prize. And the prize will be our approval, nothing physical. Actually, we do have some magnets. Let's see how we go. If you're feeling lucky, let us know what you reckon Norman's dream inspo was. Anyway, sorry, back to Siobhan's question.
And a What's That Rash fridge magnet could be on your way.
It could be.
Collector's item. The short answer to Siobhan's question is that people have got lots of theories as to why we dream, but nobody fully understands it. It's thought to be a clearing out process of the day's thoughts. It's thought to be a process where we lay down memories. It's thought to be a process where we work out problems while we're asleep. And some people think there's no meaning at all to dreams. It's just something our brains do when we're asleep.
Is there any way of measuring what's happening in a, like the whole idea about memories or problem solving, is there any way beyond people reporting things or just sort of tracking electrical activity that we could prove what's happening inside a brain?
People have tried to do it with lucid dreaming.
So that's where you realise you're asleep and you can maybe sometimes kind of control what happens in your dream. I find if I get there with a dream, I'm waking up as that's happening.
Yeah, I'm not aware. I can often wake up and remember exactly what was in a dream, and it's usually because it was quite funny and bizarre and I just want to tell somebody about it because, guess what, who came involved and which prime ministers were in or whatever the story might be. But you're right. Lucid dreaming is where you are semi-conscious of the dreaming process. And what they've tried to do is teach people to move their eyes while they're asleep when they're having a lucid dream so that they could pick up the brain waves while they're doing that to see if they can detect any particular dream-specific brain waves.
So this study, dreaming. I think the study that you're gesturing at also comes to another facet of dreaming that has always intrigued me, which is time in dreams, because I remember hearing once sometime at some stage that dreams only last like, 20 seconds or something like that. But in your dream, it can feel like years are going by, and they were trying to get people to say how long doing an activity took them in the dream versus how long it took them to do that thing in real life.
Have you seen Inception?
I have.
And that captures that amazingly in that movie. I mean, it's a fantasy movie, but it captures this notion that you get these long narratives that are only a short space of time in your sleep cycle.
And so is the study that you're referring to the movie Inception, or is there some science here too?
Just the movie.
You and Leonardo DiCaprio.
I believe what I see in movies. You know, movies are my main source of scientific information.
Well, lucky for both of us, there's also been some science around this. There was one particular study that stood out to me, which I was saying before, where basically the researchers got people to do an exercise like a squat or a forward roll or whatever in real life and timed them how long it took them. And then they did that thing where they were lucid dreaming and they would indicate to the researcher by moving their eyes left, right, at the beginning and at the end of the task in the lucid dream so that the researchers could see how long it took them. And it actually took, so the two things that they looked at were...
They did a few squats in their head.
Well, the actual things that they did were walking 10 steps and a gymnastic routine. Presumably they were able to do the gymnastic routine in real life as well. But basically, one of the participants talks about going outside in the dream, trying to find a spot where they had space, and then going into a garden and then, okay, I'm doing the experiment now, moved their eyes left, right, and then jumped. And I felt immediately that jumping was very different compared to wakefulness. I also continued and I did the forward roll, which lasted almost eternally, and then did the left, right again. The eternal forward roll in your dream.
And the conclusion was?
The conclusion is that it took you longer in your dream to do the tasks that it did in real life, but also their perception of time was even more extended. Time dilation. It's almost like Inception meets Interstellar. What do you want to talk about?
So there's something called, which is controversial among some neuroscientists, although there's been about 8,000 papers on it. It's called the default mode network.
Sounds boring.
DMN. It's not boring at all. So they've only known about it for about 30, 40 years because they noticed it when they started doing functional brain scans.
It sounds like a Wi-Fi issue. Like, select your default mode network to connect to the Wi-Fi.
That is actually quite close to the truth.
Oh, really?
If you're going to put yourself in a scanner or get put in a scanner to find out what happens when your arm moves or when you're thinking about an exam or something like that, what part of your brain lights up, they've got to get a baseline in your brain to see what your brain is like at rest so that when you do the task that you're given, there's something new to see in the brain over the baseline. So what they thought in the beginning is that when you put somebody in a scanner and you didn't give them any sounds or you weren't talking to them, you weren't asking them to speak, you were completely at rest, that the brain would go quiet. The brain did not go quiet. The brain lit up.
Oh.
That's why it's called the default mode network, because that's what the brain defaults to when you've got no sensory input. And then as soon as you gave somebody the task, this network went quiet. So it lit up when you were at rest and then went quiet when you were trying to do something, when you were doing a task. Now, default mode network is associated with memory. It's associated with how our brains compensate for aging, for example. And it's at different levels, whether you're a creative person or not, for example. So what the default network does, and it's not one network, it's actually lots of little networks around the brain, is that it's like the traffic manager in your brain. And when you're at rest, the default mode network tends to activate. And then some people activate strongly and some people doesn't activate so strongly. And when it doesn't activate so strongly when you're at rest, your mind wanders. And it's thought that mind wandering is actually a function of how heavy or light your default mode network is switched on when you're at rest. You can call it daydreaming if you like. And creativity is thought to be when you've got a very light touch default mode network, which allows parts of the brain to talk to each other that wouldn't normally talk to each other. Sound familiar with dreaming? That's what happens with dreaming, is you get this crosstalk in the brain. And here's the thing, at least one study has shown that creative people are more likely to remember their dreams.
That is so interesting. And it really speaks to what you were saying before about composers who compose music that's based on their dreams, that these people who are in like creative problem-solving fields, are their dreams are sort of part of that process. That's so interesting. And it also gives me a great segue into talking about some of the famous things that have been invented from dreams. Have you heard the sewing machine invention story before?
No, did somebody get their finger caught when they were having a dream?
Elias Howe is the guy who's credited with inventing the sewing machine. And whenever I think about a sewing machine, I can never quite figure out how they make thread go in and out. Anyway,
that's right. That's right. It's actually head in.
It does go head in. Anyway, old mate was having a dream. I don't know if he was trying to figure out how to make one already, but basically he dreamed he was building a sewing machine for a savage king in a strange country. And he was perplexed about the needle's eye. And the king gave him 24 hours to make the machine. Otherwise, he was going to be killed. And he was about to be executed in his dream, and then he noticed that the warriors were carrying spears that were pierced near the head, and then he realised that the eye of the needle needed to be at the end, the pointy end of the needle. And he woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and by 9, a needle with an eye in the point had been modelled, and that's he got the sewing machine going after that.
Amazing.
See?
Yeah.
The Power of Dreams. That and Yesterday by Paul McCartney.
And there's a difference between men and women dreaming.
Yeah, I'm really, really interested to talk about this because I wonder how much of it is sex-based and how much is like cultural gender-based, right? So pretty much what the researchers found was that women were more likely to remember their dreams, but also women's dreams are more likely to have emotions, they've got more characters in them, maybe people who are familiar, more likely to be inside include household objects and references to clothing.
And so men's not a romantic fantasy novel.
It's funny you should say that. Men's dreams are more characterised by physical aggression, sexuality, achievement and the occurrence of weapons, including presumably spears with needle eyes in the tips of them. So I guess how much of that do you think is maybe gender specific and how much is just like, what's in your mind as you're going to sleep? If you've watched an action movie before you go to sleep, are you more likely to dream about weapons because that's what's in your mind or because you're like innately more, I don't know, conflictual?
So there's a common thread in dream research, which is that one aspect of dreaming is reprising the day and reprising your current situation. And of course, the other thing that people don't think about too much with dreams is that drugs can make you dream. Medications can make you dream. So I think one of the pieces of feedback we got recently when we were talking about jet lag, a listener sent in a note that melatonin, which is one of the things that we talked about not having very many side effects. And this listener said, well, dreams are a side effect of melatonin. So active dreaming, vivid dreaming is a very common side effect of taking melatonin. But there are a lot of drugs that can cause vivid dreaming. Isotretinoin, which is a drug for acne. Antidepressants can cause both negative dreaming but also pleasant dreaming. There's a drug for diabetes called metformin, and it's rarely associated with abnormal dreaming. Beta blockers for high blood pressure can be associated with nightmares. So if you're having a surge of dreaming that you're not enjoying, have a think about what drugs you're on.
Well, I guess to come to one of Siobhan's last questions, is it healthy or unhealthy for the body? Like how much store should we put in our dreams or lack thereof?
The answer is, Siobhan, your husband's dreaming. You're dreaming. It's part of a healthy brain reprocessing, getting ready for the day, doing whatever it does, or it's a random activity created by this default mode network. Either way, it's just part of life.
Well, Siobhan, thank you so much for the question. I wish you and your husband both a safe and restful sleep tonight, either with or without dreams, whatever your choice is. And if you've got a question you'd like us to try to tackle, email us, thatrash@abc.net.au.
And what's in the mailbag?
Well, speaking of sleep, we were speaking a couple of weeks ago now about basically different things that help you go to sleep or maybe make you go to sleep before you're ready.
Why do we fall asleep in front of the telly?
Why does Costa from Gardening Australia seem to be so soporific? Anyway, Anna has emailed us in an email titled Soporicity of ABC Presenters, saying, Richard Feidler, Soothing and soporific voice, I have audiobooks of all of his self-narrated history books, and if I'm sleepless at 3 a.m, I listen to his melodic descriptions of the brutal ancient wars of Middle East and Europe. I'm out like a light in no time, so maybe the voice is the thing, regardless of whether the topic is wars of religion or battles against invasive plant species.
We won't tell Richard. We'll keep it a secret from Costa and Richard.
He might take it as a compliment.
Knowing Richard, I'm sure he would. The interesting thing is, occasionally I've fallen asleep to an audiobook and I've dreamt.
Oh.
So it's induced a dream.
Actually, Norman, I can't believe we've come through this whole episode without mentioning Shelby Trainer, our producer. What's That Rash producer, Shelby Trainer. Her episode of All in the Mind that she did about a year ago on something called the Tetris effect, which is basically where if you play Tetris, you can see the bricks falling in front of your eyes as you're going to sleep. And they actually use it as a tool for people who have gone through traumatic experiences to help them decouple that part of their brain, to help them deal with that trauma.
So we dream of Tetris.
Dream of Tetris, dream of Richard Feidler and wars in the Middle East, whatever floats your boat.
And Stuart writes, because we just keep on getting responses to our No Poo episode.
No Poo episode.
Was not about constipation.
No, it was about shampoo and conditioner. Anyway, Stuart says, I took to heart the key message of your No Poo episode, which was clearly shampoo is bad, conditioner is good. I don't know if that's actually where I came down. That's interesting that that's Stuart's interpretation.
Yeah, what we really said was, well, you can go back and listen for yourselves. Shampoo bad, conditioner bad, if you believe in it. But carry on.
Anyway, Stuart says, shampoo is always made my hair dry and frizzy, even after conditioner. So I figured, why not ditch the shampoo and just use conditioner? Massaging with conditioner would help carry away any dirt and I would be left with beautiful, soft, silky and manageable hair. Well, that didn't happen. Still clean, but still dry and frizzy. Anyway, Stuart says, I've gone all the way. I wash my hair in plain shower water, massaging the scalp briefly. I leave it like that while I finish my shower, then rinse it out with more plain water. After 3 weeks of this, my hair appears just as clean and is not as frizzy as it was, but it's certainly not greasy. So now I'm free of the scam poo, says Stuart.
Thanks, Stuart. And we look forward to any of your comments on any of our shows.
Yep, just email us thatrash@abc.net.au.
See you next week.
See you then.